Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
Tonight is the night that I have told you I was going to do shareholder. And I didn't quite finish last week on the vision. I got most of it done, but I'm going to continue that just to give a little bit more on who we are. Because if you don't know who we are, you won't know if you want to be a part. And if you want to be a shareholder, because shareholders are shareholders of the vision. And if you don't know the vision and you don't know what we're about, then you don't know that you want to be a shareholder. So we'll get more into that. So I want to pick up where I left off last week with some comments about our mission. Our mission, it comes in, I'm going to give it several bullet points, and I'm going to try to go through this fairly quickly because it restates some of last week, but I think it will hone it in for you. Part of our vision is a pursuit of the portal of the Lord's presence to be opened, secured, and enlarged in ever-increasing measures. I know that God has called part of our mission here is that we are to host His presence, to be a place where heaven is open, because when heaven is opened over a place, He can move in like He did tonight and surprise us. Every week it's a bit of a surprise with what He does. He begins dropping these nuggets, these prophetic words. That happens in an open portal. It happens when heaven is open and God and the power of the Holy Spirit has free access. That is created through worship and through intercession. Because when you honor the Lord, He says, "Ah, there we go." And He loves to commune with us in that place. So we are in pursuit of an open portal over this place. Then we're in pursuit of Christ's kingdom being advanced on the earth as it is in heaven. How many of you want your community to look more like heaven than it does what it does right now? I mean, I don't want to hear another news report of somebody getting shot in a parking lot of a grocery store. I don't want to hear another report of a child getting kidnapped, or somebody being murdered, or a house broken into. I don't want to see even what happened in Peachtree Corners on Friday night when a house was hit with lightning and it burned. I know that some of that is natural, but we should be so legislating in the heaven that we are in a protected zone. I don't want to see somebody else's house burn down. You know, we've got to learn how to take this. What did Phil Sod say over us when he came to do our dedication as a member of City Council of Peachtree Corners? He said, "You are here as gatekeepers over this city." If we're gatekeepers over the city, then we need to be watching and we need to be legislating what's happening in this territory. And Peachtree Corners isn't the whole scope of who we are, but it is part of our scope. Third, pursuit of the manifestation of the Lord's presence and glory that brings about awakening, reformation, and transformation. We just sang it. That's what we're after. Because transformation is not going to happen without an awakening to the presence of God that begins to reform us and reform structures so that transformation is manifested in the earth. So that's what we're after here. Everything else comes in after that. We are in pursuit of the lost and scattered sheep of the house of the Lord. For the lost and scattered sheep of the house of the Lord to be restored back. How many of you know people that used to be active in church? Used to be following hard after God, and then they got discouraged, they got hurt, they got whatever, because we've all been there, right? And all of a sudden they just said, "Well, I think I'll just stay home." See, God's heart is after those people. When I started forming City Gate Atlanta, one of the first things the Lord said to me was, "I have called you to the lost and scattered sheep of the house of the Lord." Because there's so many people that are disconnected and not vitally engaged in the work of the kingdom and in the body of Christ, where life flows. We're also in pursuit of the lost, the broken, the disenfranchised, the discarded, and the scattered, desiring that they would come into an authentic relationship with Christ and become a part of his family. We all were a part of that company of people. At some point in our life, we were all there. We did not know that we were loved and accepted and we were celebrated by the King of Glory. We know people that have not come into a saving knowledge of Christ. We know people that are seeking love in all the crazy places, whether it's in relationships that are dysfunctional or in drugs, alcohol, workaholicism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're looking for value somewhere. And our true value comes in our relationship with Christ. We're in pursuit of our city, state, territory, and nation being transformed by the presence of Christ. A word came earlier tonight to identify the boundaries, and he was going to double it. Linda walked over to me and she said, if you don't know your boundaries, then they can't be, you won't know when they double. She's okay. She's so cute. Makes me feel right at home this weekend since I've had one about that age with me all week. But you've got to begin to ask the Lord, what are the boundaries of your habitation? Because some of you, he literally is about to say, stretch out your tent pegs. He's about to say, stretch out your tent pegs. You're confining me. Stretch them out. You've got another place of influence that I want to take you into. Don't restrict me by your small thinking. Does that make sense? We're in pursuit of individuals and families to move into greater measures of God's original intent and purpose. God has an original intent over your life. He also has an original intent over your family, over the company you work for, over the place, your neighborhood. See, we sometimes don't think, God, what is God's original intent for the street I live on? If, according to Acts, if he establishes the boundaries of our habitation so that people may seek the Lord and find him, though he's not far from any one of us, he has a reason why you're living right where you are for this season and this time. About 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, the Lord said, it's time for you to move. When he says that, then I know that the boundaries of my habitation are changing it for a purpose in the kingdom. Because I moved enough as a child. I don't move today unless God says move. I lived in 16 houses or apartments by the time I was 16, so moving is not something I like to do. But when he says it's time to move, then I know there's a purpose in the move, and God brought me to Peachtree Corners. Little did I know at that point that he was going to also bring us to this place for City Gate, because I was actually looking towards Chamblee. And God said, all of those doors shut, I'm putting you here. I went, oh, well, there's the habitation. There's a purpose in it. So you've got to learn how to live by purpose. We are in pursuit of God's people operating in authentic relationships and kingdom authority with signs, wonders, and miracles following. How many of you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles? I believe they're only going to really flow to the fullness of what God intends as we move into authentic relationships that validate and empower us to walk in true authority. Because all authority is, and all authority is relational. Now, I made two statements there. Did you catch it? Authority just is. You either got it or you don't got it. And usually, if you got it, you don't think you got it until somebody confirms to you that you do, because that's how we tend to think of ourselves. Well, I'm just getting real with you, right? But all authority is relational. See, I don't have authority to speak into somebody's life that I don't know. I can't bring a word of correction to somebody I don't know. But if I have or even a word of counsel sometimes you can't bring to somebody you don't know. But when you have authentic relationship with somebody, there's a trust level and there is an ability there to speak life, because all correction is supposed to be life-giving. Now, I'm not going to say it always is, but it's supposed to be, right? But if you've got an authentic relationship that's built on love, then it will be. That's what we need. I need that in my life, and I'm grateful for it. We're in pursuit of the restoration of the mountain of the Lord's house and then sending messengers of light into the seven mountains of culture, family, education, government, arts, entertainment, business, religion, and media. Why? To advance the kingdom of God. See, I believe we have to ascend the mountain of the house of the Lord and then be sent into the other mountains. If you just go start climbing those other mountains without having the authenticity of the kingdom, you're just going to go be climbing a mountain and probably not make it very far, because it's too rough, because you're coming up against spiritual forces of darkness that you need the ecclesia, you need the government of God sending you into those, and then go soar. Come on, let's go soar. We're watching Mindy soar because she's established in the mountain of the house of the Lord. She has a strategy and she's going. She's not just going on her own, she's sent. And I don't believe we're even close to seeing the end of where she's headed, because God's paving a path. Paul, the same thing. He's been ascending the mountain of the house of the Lord, and God has just shifted him into a business mountain speedily with incredible favor and ideas. And I could go around the room. I see so many. Terry's has just exploded recently. I mean, in a good way. I don't mean that in a bad explosion. I mean that in a multiplication explosion. It's amazing. See, if you press into the Lord and go His way, He can advance you beyond what you expect. So what do we do around here? Here are some of the ministries that we go after every week or on a regular basis. We have our weekly ecclesia gatherings. That's this service. It's really an ecclesia gathering. That's why it is not just your traditional sing a couple of songs and, you know, if God says something, we just go with it. Because it's an ecclesia. We are gathered to do His bidding, not just our bidding. On Tuesday evenings, except for the first Tuesday of the month, we gather for a training and equipping class that we called Advancing Faith Institute. Because it's one thing to have faith, but if we don't have faith that is advancing, faith that is growing, faith that is maturing, then pretty soon we're just going through rituals and activities. I'm not into that. I got enough to do, have lots of things I like to do, but God says, no, I want you to advance. I want you to grow. I want you to mature. I want you to help others to grow and mature. And then we have things like we're doing this coming weekend on equipping conferences and seminars. We've got Dr. Don this weekend. I'm going to go through some of the schedule, and then we've got other things planned through the rest of the year. And the purpose of that isn't just to fill up your calendar. It is to get you trained and equipped to be the very best you that you can be according to what God has given you to do. That's why we do it. Then we're going to be doing some heart, bowl, and crown gatherings. We do some of those. And you say, heart, bowl, and crown? I've heard harp and bowl. What's the crown? Harp and bowl is your worship, your intercession, and the crown are your declarations and decrees from a kingly position. See, if you just go harp and bowl, you don't always ascend to that place of authority. When David's tabernacle was established, David got the strategies of war, and then they went out and won. They won it in the tabernacle first, then they went and won it on the battlefield. So basically what we're doing in harp, bowl, and crown gatherings is we're getting the strategies of heaven, we're getting the declarations out of heaven, we're releasing them, then we can go out and actually do the work on the ground, legislating in the heavenlies, implementing in the earth, which is a line out of the song from tonight. Then we've done and plan to implement again the tending the altar, like prayer mountain intercession, where you just get in here and just seek the Lord. Just come and minister to Him. Because see, if we don't continue to grow in our ministering to the Lord, not just for the Lord, we will soon lose the for the Lord. Because it's got to be primarily what we're ministering to Him. In Ezekiel, it talks about the priest who went astray and then the priest who stayed true. The priest that went astray, they were allowed to keep doing the stuff, but they could not draw near to the presence of the Lord. Can you think of anything worse than doing the stuff, doing the work, tending to all the work that has to be done around a ministry, and not being able to draw near to the Lord? We're in the process over the next few months of establishing altar ministry, prophetic, and healing teams. We've had altar ministry workers, but we're going to up it. We're going to take it up another notch, getting some training and equipping the prophetic and healing teams so that when we have our worship gatherings, we have people that can prophesy to those who come in, those that can pray for those that are in need of healing, those that can begin to minister to the deep wounds right there when we're gathered in the open heaven. And then in discipleship classes, Richard and Kathy have done some of these for them, and we're going to be doing this again, especially for new believers. But I actually encourage people who've walked with the Lord for a while, because sometimes we just need to go back to the basics. Sometimes we need a heart check. We need a life check to be sure that we're living out what we say we're living out, that we understand the basic fundamentals. And then we have these areas that I'm going to call ministry extensions. Some of you sometimes see Kairos transformation on things. And if you're new and new to me, you're probably going, okay, what's this deal between City Gate Atlanta and Kairos transformation? Kairos transformation is the ministry I formed in the early 2000s when the Lord said, you won't always be a prayer coordinator for another ministry, but you will always mobilize prayer. You will always train in prayer. You will always be about the work of transformation in the nations. And so He had me form a 501c3. It's a nonprofit. And basically at this stage of the game, that is the ministry that I utilize when I go out. It's also for those that are aligned with me apostolically, and when we are moving together with ministry outreaches or we're going to other nations, it is an avenue through which we can have the funding flow in and out so that we can do what God's called us to do, not just here locally, but translocally and into the nation. So I just wanted you to know that we do have a website for Kairos. It's just kairostransformation.org. So that one. The other things that we have as extensions here would be restoring the foundations. We are the Atlanta Regional Healing House. Patton, Winston, Harvey are the executive directors of that. Richard and Kathy Vogan are a part of that. And we have some other RTF ministers that are beginning to come and be here with us on a more regular basis. Then we are a hub for the global reformers in the courts of heaven and bloodline cleansing, to help people come into greater and greater freedom, to break through into purpose. It's not just about making your life feel good, though that does happen. It's about you breaking through into purpose. I personally have a conviction in my heart based on a prophetic word from Clay Nash that we have to begin pursuing affiliation with healing rooms and begin establishing some healing rooms. So pray into that. We're looking at it. And I believe probably in 2018 we'll begin moving that direction. Beyond that, Jesus Loves Ravers, which Nathaniel just stepped out for a second, but he and Tiffany have a ministry that goes into the raver community, into the electronic dance community, and they go into the streets and they prophesy to them, they lead them to the Lord, and they go just get right back into the middle of that culture with the saving love of Jesus. Isn't that great? I love it. And then Sound of Neos with Randy, Sylvia, and Sandra, their primary assignment is they go out on the land and release worship to bring healing into territories. I was with them up in North Georgia a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely phenomenal. Just the sound of the Lord going out into the off of the side of the mountain and into the woods and into the valley and all across the area. It was amazing. Just wonderful. And then Linda Harrington, that's been coming up here and prophesying I consider her a part of us, and she does of us as well. Clarity Keys, and she does training, equipping in prophetic and ministering to people prophetically. Very sharp, prophetic, strong prophet gift. She's actually doing a training for us next month. Not next month, September. Getting my months. I feel like I'm in August already. Some of the ministry dreams. I'm just going to rattle these off. See if you can dream with me. Tabernacle of David. A college of intercession and spiritual warfare. It's a prophetic word given to us by Yul Crawford. A school of prophetic ministry. A creative arts institute, so that those who have desires to grow in the arts, whether it's music, dance, painting, whatever it is, that we have a place where they can come get trained, equipped, and just inspired. Abby is over here painting. These paintings she's done. You started painting in December. She started painting in December. This is the grace of God upon her. Her work's for sale, by the way. That's just me promoting her, not her promoting her. Can't help it. A dream for a tea room and a coffee house. I'll tell you, every time I drive by, coming on my way here, where they're beginning to clear the land for the city center for Peachtree Corners, it's going to have an amphitheater and shops all around. Every time I drive by it, I say, Lord, could we have a coffee house in there? A place where we could minister to the community, serve good coffee and good tea, and have an open mic for people to come and release the sound. Let talent be released into the midst of the community. Why not? Why not? A place for business networking and mentoring. Along the way, I have done some classes and had people teach it. We're going to have Beverly do a seminar upcoming on some strategies the Lord has given her on working and doing trades in the stock market. It's just something God gave her out of the Word of God. Why not? After school tutoring and mentoring. The community needs it. We've got teachers. Why can't we do that? You think I have enough vision? I'm not done. Ministry, prayer journey, and mission trips. Had a prophetic word a few years ago, because I used to go to the nations, and the word was, you've not been going to the nations, but you're about to be sent back out into the nations, but first Israel. I'm going to Israel in November, so what do you think's about to happen? And I'm not going by myself. I'm going to train and equip you guys to go, so that when we get on the land, we know what we're doing, and we're going to be instruments of reformation everywhere we go. The dreams and the visions are limitless, because it includes God's dreams in you. What's God saying to you? Those become a dream of this house. Because I want to stand alongside all of you in the dream that God has put in you to see that come to pass. See, I love seeing Randy and Sylvia and Sandra and Anita went with them this time, and going out there and singing, because it's the dream in their heart. If I can help facilitate that, I don't have to be involved in all of it, but if I can help facilitate, I can encourage it, I can speak life into it, then I want to do that. And that's the same thing for each of you, because you've got a dream. You've got a calling on the inside of you. I'm going to give you the calendar real quick, and it's on the website, and you'll see it, but I just felt like the Lord said, drop this in right now. July 20th and through 22nd is the Fivefold Leadership for Kingdom Purposes with Dr. Don Lynch. He will also be here next Sunday night, so buckle up. August the 26th, it's a Saturday, we have the Hope, Healing, and Freedom RTF training. There is registration for that. It is in order to get the manual. It will include lunch, and it is a prerequisite for being trained in issue-focused ministry. So we want to encourage anybody who wants to be involved in our altar ministry, this is requirement. because I want us all on the same page. September 30th is prophetic training with Linda Harrington, and we'll get all the details about registration and fees and all that. She's written a manual that we'll go through, and she won't just be prophesying. She's going to get you prophesying. All may prophesy. I want you to say, I may prophesy. The Spirit of God in me enables me to prophesy according to love. I want you to remember that. October 19th through 21st will be the RTF issue-focused activation. We'll have all that information coming as well. The prerequisite is the Hope, Healing, and Freedom Day, or if you took the previous version that we did a few years ago, that will serve as your prerequisite as well. Then on December 1st through 3rd, we have Tim Sheets coming. That's Dutch Sheets' brother. He was in about a year ago and taught on angel armies just for a one night. And so the Lord prompted me a few weeks ago to contact him. I honestly thought it would be 2018 before I get him. And he wrote me back with five dates and said, I really want to come back. And so he's here the first weekend of December. Somebody go, yeah. So excited. In our Advancing Faith Institute, starting on August the 8th, that's coming up real quick, we're going to start a study on the trading floors and get us activating to understanding and operating on the trading floors. We did the conference with Robert Henderson back in May, but there are aspects of us understanding what it means to be in the trading floors that we need to dive into deeper. We're going to be using Judy Coventry's book, The Trading Floors. If you have not read it, I highly encourage you to read this book. Judy Coventry, and the name of it is just The Trading Floors. And Beverly Watkins has a new book coming out, so we're going to add that one in. And then after that, we're going to do a series of classes on kingdom culture and authority. We have got to start acting according to kingdom culture. Everything down to how we talk to each other, how we love each other, how we handle our finances, how we live life. We got to grow up. Somebody say, I got to grow up. Help us, Lord. So to be a shareholder of the vision, I want to do some comparison for you between shareholder and membership. Now, people sometimes go, why are you using this word shareholder? Well, I'm going to start it, and some of you have heard me say this before. How many of you have had a membership in a gym? How many of you paid it and didn't go? Okay, that's membership. It didn't do you any good, did it? Did you no good? I've even bought diet plans, you know, thinking it'll help. Finally found one that is. But anyway, and I spent all this money and then got, well, I don't want to do that anymore and quit. Well, it didn't do me any good. So we want to shift us from just being members into shareholders. A shareholder, under shareholders, we are kingdom focused. On membership, we're typically church focused. See, we're not going to be church focused. In the traditional sense of the word, we're about advancing his kingdom. Shareholders are vision-led. In membership, it's usually organization-led. In other words, you do what I want you to do. That's not how we're going to operate here. I mean, there are things I will ask you to do because just to keep us going, we got to do things like volunteer. But it's because we're after a common vision. But it really is about activating your vision as well. In shareholders, we co-labor for success. In membership, we're after the success of somebody else, usually whoever is up front. See, this is what I believe. I will be successful in the kingdom when I do what God tells me to do, the way he tells me to do it, when he tells me to do it, and how he tells me to do it. And my success, as far as it depends on you, is as if you're successful. If you grow in the ability to do what God called you to do, and I can look at you and I go, yeah. There's no greater success for me than that. And I really do mean that. When I see the breakthroughs in your lives, that's what I live for. Because that means the kiss of God has come upon you and you've responded to Him. When I see Linda stepping out and prophesying stronger and stronger every week, and you've prophesied strong as long as I've known you, but there is a strength coming and a confidence coming in you, it just causes my heart to leap. I could go around this room and say that over the majority of you. It's a beautiful thing. With shareholders, we have a stake in stewarding the vision. In other words, we're stewarding the vision together. It's not just somebody else's. But see, in membership, you don't have a stake in stewarding the vision. You have the option of participating in the organization. There's a difference in there. And shareholders, you get to share in the fruitfulness of the vision. And membership, you get some benefits of membership. Maybe. I mean, I'm just getting real. But this is a revelation that God has given us for this house, is for us to be shareholders, to share in all of this together. The borders of the vision are basically set by me as the apostle in the house. I'll set the borders, but that means there's a whole lot of space in the middle that you fill and you fill and you fill. And some of that is you've got a vision of seeing things handled with excellence. See, Sandra, part of what her it's not the only piece, or she's got so many pieces of this, but she helps keep me straight. And I'm so grateful. Because I used to administrate for other ministries, and I could administrate great. But now that I'm in this role, not so much. I'm grateful for Sandra, who keeps me straight and makes sure we have a list of volunteers and we make sure we got the doors open. Like, what time we open the doors? Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Because I'm thinking down here, I need her. But see, then there's the pieces of the vision that are the intercession. I see the scope of intercession. I see the boundaries of it. But I need a Beverly, and I need some others that are here that press into intercession. And with the, see, we do this together. It's not isolated. Is this making sense to y'all? The shareholders are those who see and believe in the vision. And this next piece is important. Sense the Lord's invitation to be on assignment with the vision. See, I don't believe we choose churches based on our likes and dislikes. We are supposed to be attached to a ministry by the assignment of the Lord. When God says, this is where I've assigned you for this season, you don't just decide next week, I don't like it anymore, I'm going somewhere else. Because if you do, then you just left your assignment. And I don't know about you, but I've never found it very beneficial to leave the assignment of the Lord. It doesn't work out so good. And then the shareholders are those who determine to align with the vision with a whole heart to see God's purposes fulfilled. See, it's all about fulfilling God's purpose. How many times have I said fulfill God's purpose tonight? Over and over, because that's what we're aiming for. Shareholders are committed to the vision and to the process of, get this, maturing under apostolic leadership. See, part my heart cry and my desire for you is that you mature to be the fullness of who God created you to be. And that may mean at times that I come alongside and say, you know, we really need to work on this. I see this area of faltering. I see this area where you keep making the same mistake over and over again. Let's mature it. Or I hear a prophetic gifting in somebody. Well, I'm going to encourage that gifting to mature. With Victor, incredibly prophetic, obviously, right? I mean, like, duh. But along the way, I've said things to him in love, saying, hone it in a little bit, slow down, measure your words, And what's happened? That gifting has become sharper and sharper and sharper. What if we just leave it out there just to go on? He was doing fine, but the power and the authority, when it is matured, is even greater. And see, that's what God wants to do with all of us. And you notice I'm including me in that. The apostolic leadership team is committed to providing leadership to help shareholders come into increasing measures of maturity and effectiveness of kingdom leadership. Because you're all called to lead. You all lead somebody. Okay? I'm getting a little bit of a, what do you mean by that? It may be the child in your home. It may be the people on your job. It may be a neighbor that you don't even realize you're leading because you're setting an example. But you're leading somebody. And the more we grow in kingdom leadership, in expressing the love of Jesus, the leadership of Jesus in and through our lives, that influence increases and magnifies and multiplies. Because God's called us all to be the head, not the tail. And the head leads. So God's wanting us to grow in that. And it's not just something that I do. I've got a fabulous leadership team. In fact, I want leadership team, if you would stand. I just want y'all to know them. We don't have everybody here tonight. Okay. We love them. They're great. We have Victor and Mindy Ruiz over here. Sandra Limser, Rick and Teresa Heath, Beverly Roach, Dave and Terry Clark, and by the way, happy birthday a few days late, Terry. Kathy Vogan, Richard is not here tonight. They just got back from vacation. I was surprised to see you here. Was very surprised. And then Winston and Pat Harvey, who are doing ministry in Athens. I don't think I'm missing anybody else. Sometimes I lose track. And then we have other people that serve alongside, and Nathaniel in leading the worship team and all of that. And then we've just got lots of leaders that are on the move here. So it's an awesome thing. And I want to say this, that we acknowledge that we see in part, and together we are moving forward in the ever-enfolding vision. I know I don't see all of the vision that God has for us yet. Now, I gave you a whole lot, and that is a lot. I mean, Dennis Amsden said to me when we were talking about some of this when they were here a few weeks ago, he goes, well, you sure don't lack for vision. Nope, I don't, because there's no lack of vision in the kingdom of God. He is a creative God, and he's still creating, and he created you. Therefore, you are a creative person, and he's got creative genius inside of you. And some of that vision will be inside the walls, but a whole lot of that vision is going to be out there doing kingdom work that God says, I want you to be sent from an apostolic center out into the sphere that you're called to with the dream and the vision that you have for that, and be connected so that you have the force of agreement. See, alignment is about the power of agreement. We need power of agreement. The details of the vision will come into focus as the shareholders bring forth their portion. See, as I begin to see different ones bringing forth greater and greater measures of their portion of the vision, that area begins to grow and multiply. Yesterday, Sandra, along with Pamela and I think Fing Ling, were in our resource center working on it. That means that resource center bookstore is about to come into a greater clarity and fruitfulness to provide materials for all of you, because they're focused on it. Their vision is getting clearer on it. It's getting implemented. That's how things come into a greater focus. The leadership team, they're all partners of covenant. We are all in relational covenant with each other. It means that we're going to press through even difficult seasons. And I tell this often, but every one of our leadership team and me has had a challenge. In other words, we've been through a test. I went through a test with Rick and Teresa, with Sandra, with Dave and Terry. I mean, I could go around the room. But all of our leadership team, we have gone through tests. And they've wondered, and I've heard it out of their mouths, I'm just not sure I can do this. But you know what? We have made a covenant with each other that we're gonna work through the differences that we have. And it's not always that they have to agree with me. There are times I have to go, you know what? I really blew it. But that's how you walk out covenant. But what we have as a leadership team, I believe, is what God wants us to have throughout the shareholders. Because when you begin to move into relationship with people, think about your own house. You get challenged, don't you, with the people you live with? I mean, come on. Y'all don't look at me like you don't ever get challenged with the people you live with. Come on, I know better. The people that you're good friends with, you get challenged with. And you have to be willing to work through the challenges so that the relationship gets stronger and stronger. The boundaries of the vision will expand as the vision grows and the insides begin to fill in. So what are some of the shareholder responsibilities? Simple. Faithfully participate. Participate in your tithes, your offerings, your first fruits, following biblical guidelines and Holy Spirit guidance. Pursue and develop relationships among the City Gate family. I'm not going to set those up for you. You need to understand that. I'm not planning all the socials. I'm not going to plan all the dinners for you to get together with somebody, pick up the phone and call somebody and say, I need to go to dinner with somebody. Would you like to go to dinner with me? I mean, I know that sounds really simple, but in old model church, the church planned all the social events. Right? Not so much. I mean, we will plan some and we will do them. But I am encouraging you, look around and say, I want to get to know you. And I don't know you yet. Could we go out and have coffee after church? Could we go and have a quick dinner? Could we meet early? But do something to begin building relationships, because we will only be as strong as our relationships are strong. And I want them to be authentic. I want them to be those that we're building intentionally. Faithfully participate, engaging in worship and prayer and in teaching. And then serve as ministry opportunities come around. Another responsibility is seek to live in covenant relationships with God, leadership, with one another, and with your family. Love each other. What does that mean to me? It's living on a lifestyle of honor. Romans 12, 9 through 11, one of the phrases in there is give preference to one another in honor. Romans 13, 7 says, render to all what is due them. And at the end of that verse, it says, honor to whom honor is due. See, there's a place where we honor everyone. And I wasn't putting this in here, and I read something from Dr. Don this week, and he said, but honor is also earned, and honor also is to be given to where it is due. We're told to honor our parents, right? And there's a blessing that comes with that. And parents honor their children, but not in honoring them to follow their way. They're in a position to lead, right? If it gets inverted, families get dysfunctional. Okay? So there's an honor that is due to leadership. There is an honor that's due to parents. There's an honor that's due to those who lead. And so we've got to learn how to honor and prefer one another altogether, but then also to honor according to the position and the function that we carry with each other. Does that make sense? I'm sure we will hear more about that this weekend with Dr. Don, because it's one of his topics, and I love it. It's also about living in a lifestyle of submission. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. When we submit to the Lord and then we submit to one another, there is no end to what God can do. And it's a safe place. Because when you're submitted to the Lord and then you begin to submit to those that He's put you in connection and alignment with, there is a protection in that. And it's not out of selfish gain. It's not out of wrong motives. It's out of let's pursue the kingdom together. The third point is a lifestyle of integrity. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. What is integrity? Integrity is being the same thing on the inside and the outside. See, you can put on a front and make everybody think you're all wonderful, but when the press comes on, if you're not filled with integrity on the inside, if you're not true from the inside out, your cracks will show. The word comes out of a principle in Roman times when they would have porcelain cups and they would be selling them. And if it had a crack in it, they would put wax in it on the inside. And they'd fill it in, and they were really, really good at filling it in. So if you just looked at it with the naked eye, you might not see it. But if you held it up to light or you put it up next to heat, the wax would melt out. So if you're not walking in integrity, when you get into a hot place, that which you've tried to patch your cracks, it will melt out and all the flaws will be seen. So pursue integrity in all things. It's a lifestyle of faithfulness. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And we could say not just faithfulness, but all of the fruit of the Spirit. That we live in a lifestyle pursuing the fruit of the Spirit. And then a lifestyle of the pursuit of maturity. How many of you have heard, you've probably said out of your own mouth, I just need to grow up. Or said to about other people, they just need to grow up. God's saying we need to grow up. He's wanting us on a pursuit of maturing spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. Ephesians 4:1-3 says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is a picture of maturity. Enduring with each other. Suffering long with each other. Endeavoring to walk in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Another verse says, as far as it is possible with you, walk in peace with all men. Sometimes it's not up to you. You do need to understand that. It's not always up to you, but as far as is possible with you, maturity. Some of the shareholder benefits, you get to grow in relational covenant with like-minded believers, and that is an adventure of fun. It's a safe environment for you to mature and develop spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. It's a healthy place, a safe place for you to exercise gifts, to share your dreams, to develop your skills, to step out in faith, step out and prophesy, step out and lay hands on the sick, It's a safe place. You can begin to get those things activated in you because it's a safe place. And if you're saying, you know, I feel like I need to pray for this person, grab somebody and take them with you and pray for them. Grab Teresa, grab somebody that's faithful and say, I've got a prayer. I've got a word I want to deliver to somebody. Grab somebody and step out and begin to grow and mature in those things. It is a place of loving care and accountability even through difficult seasons. How many of you have been through some really difficult seasons? We all have. I can tell you, I've been through some difficult seasons that if I didn't have relational covenant with people to walk with me through the dark valley, I wouldn't have made it. But when I have been weak and wondering, can I even take another step? People from shareholders, even while we've been coming here at CityGate, they've been able to come alongside and lean their strength into me when I was weak. It's a safe place. It's a place that there's a lot available when we say, I'm open and I'm willing. To become a shareholder, this is really quite simple. Because I'm not like interviewing you, although sort of, not really. Well, it's not an interview like accept and not accept. We have these shareholder forms, and here's the reason I want these. It's a first step for me really getting to know you. We ask things like your name. That's important. Where you live, that's kind of important too. How can we reach you? Cell phone numbers, other phone numbers, email. We want to know when your birthday is. Because how can I wish you a happy birthday if I don't know when your birthday is? And there's a whole bunch of people in here I don't know if Facebook doesn't tell me. Aren't we grateful for Facebook and happy birthdays? If you're married or if you've been married and you're divorced, we want to know that because that's a part of your story. It's not shame. It's just a part of your story. It helps us know where you're coming from. Any children that you have, I said at home, but if, you know, hey, I'm proud of my kids. They're scattered, and I love my grandkids, even though they wear me out, like this weekend. Whoo, baby. where you're employed, emergency contact information. So if we find out, if you're here and something happens to you, who do we call? Or if we're out on a mission trip somewhere and something happens, who do we contact? We need to know, or if we need to reach you and we can't reach you, who do we go to? It's just family stuff. I'd like to know the names of other ministries or senior leaders that you've been connected to over the last 5 years. And why am I asking that? It helps me understand your journey. It helps me understand where you've been, what you've been in the middle of. And I may just say, how did you leave if you've left another ministry? Because the way you leave one determines how you enter into the next. Now, that was a real big mouthful right there, but it's the truth. It does determine how you leave. And we all have left places, but did you leave well or did you leave offended? So we want to leave well. We want to move forward. And there's other things that I'll tell. Then there's ministry background, previous ministry associations, your membership, if you are ordained, if you've been commissioned somewhere else. I just would like to know. Just because then that helps me identify where you are in your journey and what your history's been. Are you attending another congregation? And if you are, that's good. It doesn't bother me. I mean, Christine is over at the church. She serves in youth ministry. She's very involved over there. We have a great relationship, and her pastor is aware she's here, and he blesses it, and we're thrilled that we're all in together. So I'm not a... This is another benefit of shareholder, is it's not ownership. It's just not. Y'all, be where you need to be. But wherever you are, be. Fully be wherever you are, be. Be the best you can be there. I tell pastors that have people that come here, I'm not after stealing your sheep. I want them to go and be the very best that they can be where they're assigned. And if we can help them be that, then I'm here to serve that assignment. What do you see as your personal gifts, talents, abilities? And this challenges some people because they don't like to say that, but I'm pressing you. Say it. What other training have you been? Have you been to Bible school? Have you been to a prophetic school? Have you been to intercessory training? What have you done? Tell us about it. What do you feel is your primary calling and the purpose that God has created you for? What are some areas that you're willing to serve at City Gate Atlanta? And it may be, I just want to greet. See, my husband's a businessman. He leads all week long. I mean, he leads his own company, you know, employees, clients, et cetera, et cetera. So by the time he goes to worship on Sunday, he goes, put me at the back and let me usher and share and do a door holder thing. And don't ask me to do anything up front. I don't want to. I'm doing all that, so I just want to serve. And that's okay because, you know what? We need that. See, it's not about just who's up here. It's about every piece supplying its part. Let us know where you're willing to serve. It may be intercession. It may be in other areas. And if you would like to meet with leadership, with myself or with some of our leadership teams, members. And then there's just a place on the back you can share your testimony and anything else you just want to share with us to let us know. Because I really do just want to get to know you. And it's easier to start on a piece of paper and then we can go into some meetings and just let us know, because I really would like for us to sit down and get to know you. If you've got questions for me, I'm an open book, sometimes too much of an open book. Because I am who I am by the grace of God. And I love people. I love God's purposes. And I want to see us all walking in the fullness of what He intended. So I want you tonight, and as you go through this week, praying if you desire to be a shareholder. And next week, we'll do this again, but for those who know now, this is something you want to do. Next week when Dr. Don is here, we're going to pray over all the shareholders and just release a blessing. And I have asked that those who have been here for the whole time, please fill one out anyway, just because we need updated information, and this is a great way to get it. And it's also a way for us to just see where we're moving forward and how we can continue to move forward together. So it's all about seeing His kingdom come and His purposes established on the earth with every joint supplying, because that's what causes growth of the whole in love. Would you stand with me? Tuesday night, we will be here for intercession over the conference and also over our nation. So just come and we'll plan on having a great night of intercession. Father, thank you so much. Lord, I stand amazed at the vision that you have given and that you are giving, and for the people that you've brought into this place with us. Lord, I pray over each one here that they would know what you're saying. They would hear your voice. And where you have said, yes, this is a place of assignment for you in order to fulfill that which I've called you to be. As a part of the body of Christ, as part of the ecclesia, but also to fulfill that which is written in your own book, that which was written before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would make it plain, and Lord, that you would knit us together in a way that is authentic, a way that is healthy, and a way that is inviting even for those who have not yet come. Lord, you gave us a word a few weeks ago that you were bringing in those that would carry what was needed for the coming season. in resources, not just financial, but in giftings, callings, passions. And so, Lord, I just say, bring in all that you have, that we together might make your kingdom known in a greater measure, so that Jesus is glorified and he will receive the full reward of his sufferings. Jesus, we love you. Father, we're so grateful. Holy Spirit, have your way, that your purposes may be accomplished in the earth. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.